the growing power of tech companies. This is something we're seeing, a real rise in artificial intelligence, which is increasing the power of the big tech companies. And it's creating some big questions for Australia's news media landscape. You know, AI models are training on Australian journalism, often without permission or regard for copyright. And companies like Meta and Google wield a lot of influence in the placement of news as well. Now, while all this is happening, we're also seeing some big changes in Australia's digital media landscape. Youth-focused platforms like Vice and Junkee have announced big shifts in their operations this week. Tim Duggan is the chair of the Digital Publishers Alliance and co-founder of Junkee Media, and he's speaking at the National Press Club today to talk about the future of the Australian media, and he's in the studio with me in Parliament House. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
Now, can we just start with the news from Junkee? The business announced today a shift to what it's calling leaner creator-led model. What's your reaction as a co-founder?
I mean, Junkee will always have a special place in my heart. Mm-hmm. It was something that some friends and I originally co-founded when I was in my mid-20s. I'm now in my mid-40s and I have changed, and the world of digital media is constantly evolving. I think what Junkee and Pedestrian and Vice and all of those media companies that really rode the wave of social media up and down, they're trying to find how they interact and what they look like in this new changing landscape that we're in.
So do you see it less as a warning bell and more as a sign of the times are continuing to evolve?
Yeah, I do. I think that our media industry at the moment has so many new interesting growth areas, and it has areas of contraction. Mm. And that is one of the most wonderful things about the media industry, is that it's constantly changing. It is also one of the most frustrating things.
And scary things as well, yeah.
it really is. And so I think you can't look at any individual media title too much. You need to look at kind of larger trends of what's happening.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of those larger trends. You've been looking at some of the threats that face digital media. Talk me through what both big legacy mainstream media organisations are dealing with in this changing tech environment, and how does that compare to some of the smaller digital players?
Yeah, so I now represent a group called the Digital Publishers Alliance. We are an independent body. We have about 150 media titles that we represent, so all of the middle range of media. Mm. And interestingly, the things that are affecting us are very similar to the things affecting mainstream media. And I've narrowed it down to three large threats that I'm going to talk about today at the Press Club address from 12:30. And they are big tech, and they're very big ambitions. It is government paralysis, in that the speed that government moves at and the speed at which technology moves at are very different.
Very different speed rates, yes.
And the third one is trust. And Australians' trust of news and the rise of AI and the rise of mis and disinformation on the internet.
Can you deal with any one of those issues in isolation? Like, how interlinked are those
Extremely
factors?
Interlinked. Yeah. I think government inaction is, because big tech has so many ambitions, the reason why we have less people trusting news is because of social media, it is because of generative AI, it is because of deepfake videos. And so they're all extremely interlinked. And it's a very complex time to be a media company at the moment. It's also a very complex time to be a media consumer.
Yeah, and it's a complex time for governments trying to deal with this. We have seen in Australia initiatives by the federal government, the News Bargaining Initiative in particular, as a way to try and make sure that there is funding coming to Australian media organisations that are affected by the way the big tech companies and their platforms work. We see in the Canadian experience, when they've tried to move in this area, we've had Meta sort of effectively block a lot of news companies and their contents from their platforms. You know, what do you think the lessons are that the Australian government should be taking from some of the international experiences we've seen?
It's quite fascinating that everyone around the world is trying to tackle this. This is not an Australian-only problem. And Canada is a really great example, because they're roughly similar in many ways to Australia. Certainly the media landscape is quite similar. And so a few years ago, when Meta, who are a pretty terrible corporate citizen, decided that they didn't agree with government policies, both here in Australia and in Canada. In Australia, they threatened to ban news, which would mean that any Australian going onto Instagram or going onto Facebook would not be able to see any news from any Australian news provider. They threatened it in Australia 3 years ago. They didn't go ahead with it. They did threaten it again last month. in Canada, they went ahead with it. So 3 years ago, they completely banned news. And the impact of that was there was about 11 million pages of news content every single day that just got completely banned. Mm. So people were not able to access that. The result is that a lot of local Canadian outlets, a lot of smaller outlets, some reports have about 30% of them have been majorly affected. Mm. Some of them closing down, a lot of them losing staff members because all of a sudden they don't have access to an audience. The other impact of that is a wider impact on democracy. There's a very clear link between news literacy and people understanding news and listening to news and things like polarisation and things like mis and disinformation.
Is there a lesson there for the Australian government that these tech companies will play hardball? Do you have to factor that in when they go in to try and figure out how to make policies and how to go about implementing them?
Very much so. And the question is who folds first? Who is more powerful, the Australian government or a large US tech company? And that is a question that is still to be answered. Sadly, you'd like to think the Australian government has power and jurisdiction over our own environment, but there's a lot of reasons to think that the US tech companies, in particular even AI companies now, are so large and so powerful that it is a real question.
I'm speaking to Tim Duggan. He's the chair of the Digital Publishers Alliance and was one of the co-founders of Junkie Media. Look, one of the big media stories we've seen in the last couple of weeks has been Today Show's co-host Karl Stefanovic leaving a big television network, setting up his own independent podcasting company and making quite a big a political shift that came with that, talking to a lot of guests around right-wing audiences and picking up on issues that really appeal to people in the right-wing sector. What do you make of this evolution we're seeing in media where you've talked about polarisation being, you know, a factor we're seeing evolve? Do you think there is any means to slow down that polarisation, or is this example of Karl Stefanovic striking out on his own, heading towards a particular political audience, is that just the clear symptom of the situation you're describing?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things going on. The first one is that we are seeing wider media trends of former mainstream journalists, content creators going off on their own and creating very large audiences. We still don't officially have a term for them. Sometimes it's creator journalist, sometimes it's influencer. Mm. And some data that came out from the University of Canberra last week, just a few weeks ago, was that 4 in 10 Australian news consumers are getting their news from individual creators or influencers. And Karl is one of them. And he is, so that's a trend that's happening. The second trend is the trend around polarization. And this is something that we've seen certainly overseas, certainly in America. We've seen it a lot in the UK. And Australia is not immune to that, both politically and within our media system. And it's because a lot of the way that this new economy, this media economy, is rewarded is rage, bait, comments, likes, shares, arguments. All of those don't necessarily come from agreeing with what somebody says. They come from disagreeing with what they say.
One of the issues of regulation that's being discussed in the federal parliament right now is the idea of a digital duty of care. And there's also a push by some in parliament to try to have some regulation of algorithms, or at least being able to have opt-out options for algorithms in social media. What do you make of those ideas?
Yeah, I think the social media companies have had too much power and too much free rein for too long. I think the step to ban social media for under 16-year-olds is a phenomenal step in Australia. We obviously need to tighten that, and we have a duty of care, and that needs to get better and better. I think the world is looking at us to see. We're a bit of a test case here, so it is very important that we get it right, and I'm heartened by the fact that we are going to continue to try and make that better. But I do think that the tech companies for a very long time have gotten away with murder. They really have. And that's not just Meta and Google. It is also AI companies. It is Anthropic. It is OpenAI. The way that they have been able to come in and ingest content and sell it back to us as a subscription is just abhorrent. And I think it's all happened so quickly. And the reason for government paralysis is not because there's not good people in government that don't want to get this done. It's because it's happened so fast. And all of us, consumers, listeners, readers, government, media companies, we're all spinning as fast as it is and trying to catch up.
We are absolutely playing catch up. Tim Duggan, thank you so much for talking to us. I look forward to hearing your press club address today.
Thank you very much.